Oh, look at that face. Okay. I hope it's good for the meeting.
Good start.
I got to play it. You just go on there.
You may see the whole on the TV.
Yeah,
yeah.
Good.
Okay. To the front.
Oh,
great. Thank you all for coming to hear a presentation about sewers and sanitation. The surprise by a big crowd, but that's awesome. My name is Mark Carlson. I'm with TCW Risk Management. We're a broker who works with Pagosa Water and Sewer to help them with their insurance. Again, a broker, I represent them. I'm not with the insurance company, so I don't have the ability to decide claims, negotiate claims, that type of stuff. But we do work with a lot of sewer districts around the state, which we have experience in what happens typically when there are backups. And we think it's important to share with you what that looks like so that you can do the best you can to protect yourselves and your businesses in the event of a sewer backup, and so that you can help understand the process that you might go through should there be a claim. I would tell you two things about myself. Not great at presentations, really good at answering questions. So I would encourage you to ask as many questions as you have when you have them. Don't save them up for the end. Just raise your hands and you can make this interactive. I do find that that helps us get to the specific questions and the details that that you all have, as opposed to just kind of running through some slides full of insurance and sewer backup information. But let's flip to the next slide. Kind of what happens when there's a sewer backup, and how does legal liability and negligence work? Because I think most people think, oh gosh, sewage is backing up into my home. I'm gonna call the sanitation department, and they're gonna take care of all the issues. But unfortunately, that's not exactly the process or exactly what happens when the sanitation backs up or the pipes back up. There we go. So the question that comes up is, can a wastewater utility, like a sewer district, be liable to pay for sewer backups that originate in their lines? And the main question there is, has the district or the utility been negligent, or is there a tort for legalese? So if we look at a couple of examples here, this will kind of give us an idea of when the district may be liable and when a district might not be liable. And in the first instance, we find a wastewater utility received complaints about backups. They do an investigation. They find the backups are coming from a certain portion of the line that hasn't been cleaned or is experiencing some level of congestion in that portion of the line. The department decides not to do anything about it. And then a few days later, you have another backup coming from that spot, creating damage in a home. In this case, we most likely found that the sewer department was, or sewer district was negligent because they had a known problem and they didn't fix it. And it became a future issue. In our second example here, and this has happened pretty regularly, is a neighborhood experiences a backup. It's found that somebody had opened up a manhole, thrown a bunch of construction material into the manhole, closed it up so nobody knew that anything had happened, and then the debris caused the backup in the lines that affected the home. Well, in that case, the district wouldn't have had any idea that there was construction material in their sewer line, and thus likely would not be found negligent in causing the damage. And thus, even though the backup came from the sewer line, the district likely would not be found to be negligent in that case. So kind of from a legal standpoint on the next page, the question that comes up to the insurance companies or how we determine whether or not the sewer district is likely liable is whether a tort has been committed. And so a tort to have occurred, there must be four things. There must be a duty owed. There must be a duty breached. There must be damages that are incurred. And the proximate cause of those damages has to be the breach of duty. So to take that legal ease and put it into our examples, in the first example where there's a backup from a particular spot in the line, the district was aware of the spot that was experiencing backups. So they had a duty that they owed to the constituents to clean that spot. They elected not to clean the spot, so they breached that duty. There's a backup that occurred, and it occurred from that spot as the proximate cause, and there were obviously damages due to the backup. So in that case, you would have all of the four points that would create liability for the district, and thus there should be coverage for the homeowner. In the second example, there's no duty to keep manholes locked down, to keep oversight over manholes 24 hours a day. And so in that case, there would not have been a duty owed, and thus we wouldn't see that being a claim or have a district negligent in causing that damage. Now, if they knew there was a construction material in there, or once they found out about it, if they then chose not to clean it up, then we would have a situation where we breach. Yes.
Of course, John. So both Colin or Bruce with Mountain Disaster Mitigation.
Yeah.
There are quite a few times we end up on a sewer backup that's from the sewer main,
yeah,
and the home's just a low-lying spot in that area, it seems, where the homeowner is the first one to discover that there's a problem going on and pause to know about it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there's a backup. That one homeowner got affected, but in these terms, though, that homeowner would then still be liable because pause did not know that there was a clog in the sewer main. Is that correct?
That's it. That's exactly correct. And so if there's not an area that they knew that there was an issue or a potential issue, then in that case, while it does come from the main, typically the homeowner can't push that liability off to the district, and the homeowner is the one that ends up being responsible for those damages. Yeah.
Bruce Jones with Lars. When it comes to what we're kind of dealing with right now, obviously, a sewage system should be an enclosed system. It should be isolated to itself. And that's just any sewage system, whether it's, I live on 5 acres out in a meadows. Obviously, my system's enclosed, your system's enclosed. So when it comes to something like runoff, and there's entry points where you're talking about millions of gallons entering, would that be considered, I'm just asking, would that be considered negligence because we have so many entry points that it can impact 1.7 million gallons per day, or is that not considered that when you're dealing with what we're dealing with right now?
Yeah, I think what we're talking about right now is a pretty unique situation. So it's not as easy as me saying black and white, oh, this should be taken care of, or this shouldn't. And this, I would say, I think there's claims that are open and ongoing in this. And again, I work for the brokerage. I don't have any claims adjusting authority kind of trying to address what we see happening and ways to protect folks. You know, I think what you're talking about is I don't know that there's truly a fully enclosed or protected system where you guys might be able to help me on this, but there's always infiltration and there always are manholes that leak. It's a matter of how much of that do they leak, and a lot of those things that have to do with what kind of geography we're dealing with. So I would, you know, this situation today is a lot. More difficult situation to analyze as an outsider, just giving like a subjective opinion than you know, some of your typical standard in sewage backup scenarios. But you know, when you discuss negligence, I mean, I think those things are things that could be argued. Well, the system wasn't designed for a level of runoff that it should have been, and we've seen cases where there were floods and sewage systems took in more water than they thought, and sometimes they determine that, look, they planned for a 100-year event, and this event was a 500-year event, and 100 planning for a 100-year event is the best that a sewage department could be asked to plan for. And then the argument on the other side would be that, you know, you should have known in these low areas, we should have had different manhole situations. I mean, I don't know the answer to that, and this situation is definitely a tricky situation. I'm not certain that the district could do or should have done anything differently, and that we're facing just more water than is in a normal situation.
And any question we ask is not meant to pin you. It's just a generalized.
No. If I was in the Jets, you could pin me. I have absolutely, like, if I told you, oh, absolutely, that's negligence. That holds no. That holds no legal. Yeah, I don't have the authority to make that decision. But you know, and I think the recommendation in these situations that you turn the claim into the insurance companies to evaluate the situation and determine whether or not there was negligence. Well, they will do an evaluation. They will do engineering studies. They will compare it to what other sewer districts and departments do in similar situations to work through that process. I think I would tell you though, a lot of times what we see is that when it's significantly driven by Mother Nature, a lot of times we don't see negligence. Yes.
I'm Terry Crom, just a client. What about when the situation is chronic, that it repeats itself every couple of years? It's pretty hard to say that it isn't known.
You know, I don't know the answer to if it's a consistent situation that there is a solution for it, people are choosing not to solve, then that's one thing. But if it's an area where it's designed for a certain level of water flow and the water flow exceeds that, that's a different discussion. And again, those are, you know, I'm turning the claims in, those would be the analysis and the examination that the adjusters are going to do to determine whether or not there is or isn't negligence.
Later in the slide, will you get to cleanup? I just want to jump the gun. Are you going to get to cleanup?
Go ahead and ask your question. I'm not. No. There's some discussion.
Yeah, I'm going to
get. Wait till the end.
Wait till the end.
Yeah,
just wait. Yeah, that's fine. We'll wait till the end.
Okay. So what are the generally accepted legal duties of wastewater utility with respect to its collection lines? You know, our focus here has been primarily on the cleaning and inspection of the lines. That's typically where we see the losses come from. And there's not a industry standard for how often lines should be inspected and cleaned. The reason for that is that all departments have different situations. We could have different types of line, whether they're clay or ductile iron or plastic. Geography plays into it. Right? Flat systems need to be cleaned more frequently than systems that have significant slope to them. Also, what's run through the system. We notice that people who are heavy industrial or run a lot like near restaurants, grease runs through those areas tend to need to be cleaned and looked at more frequently than perhaps residential areas. So there really isn't a standard in the state that says what specifically a sewer district has to do in order to meet the guidelines for legal liability. What's important is that the district does take action in inspecting their system, putting together a plan, and following that plan as closely and diligently as they can, identifying spots in their system that may or may not need to be cleaned more regularly than the standard lines, because a lot of systems will have hot spots in them. And so as long as they do their best to follow those procedures, generally it's been found that the districts are following the plan that works and are not necessarily negligent when backups occur from lines unexpected.
Yeah. So take it then, pause as a master plan on how on a routine that they're going through on all the lines.
Yes,
correct. Do you guys keep service records of those so then that way lines don't get missed?
How does a homeowner know that's being done, like on a regular basis? Is there a communication outlet that you can tap into? I mean,
the areas are posted on Facebook. Each summer, beginning of spring throughout the summer, we contract to have that work done. The lines are jetted and camered. Okay. And we post those areas on Facebook.
Just on like the posting? They just like a Facebook post?
A Facebook posting. And we do have a new system that we're using to help customers understand their water use. And it has a messaging system built into it that we'll use going forward.
Is that included in your monthly dues?
The messaging system?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is there a way to request? you've got a chronic situation. Is there a way to request?
It certainly be considered. Yes, we've and Kyle can kind of speak to the strategy behind the areas that we concentrate on areas that are of concern anyway. But if you have questions or would like us to focus, I can't commit that we would focus on that. But if you want to raise your hand and say, "Hey, please have a look at this option," then we would certainly consider it.
And you yes. Just contact.
Contact the front desk.
The front desk.
Yeah, and that can get you in touch with somebody that can help. And it kind of rotates around the town is how we do it. And it's about a 4-year cycle.
4 to 5 years.
We have certain
areas that we know are problem areas from having cleaned and televised in the past. They have more grease buildup or whatever. And so we always try to focus on those in addition to our regular schedule deal. But if Darren says that there's an area that you believe is a problem area or needs to be done more frequently, just contact us and we'll look at the system, whatever we come up with, through televising and so forth, and see if there's something that needs to be done or just done more frequently.
Televising is like a camera,
though.
Is that
real?
All right.
Okay. In some areas, there are commercial lines very close to residential lines. And we tend to concentrate on those lines. And the area that we're dealing with right now has that issue. There's a lot of commercial restaurant activity up on Highway 160 go that direction and then back up to us. So we concentrate on this area, I would say, quite a bit because of that. And we do see issues with the grease and the lines from those restaurants that are up on 160 on occasion. So we really try to work on these lines.
Wow. Okay. So when we finish scoping, as we always talk about taking the video of the line, you can tell before and after what it looked like from a cleanliness standpoint.
Before and after.
And so even if someone, if there was an area that was thought to be extra, you know, extra backup, you could take a line, you could look at it, and you could see whether or not that backup truly is exceeding what you would normally see.
Yes. We, as it's being televised, we review each one of the videos and look for defects, excessive buildup, and so forth. Then go out and reject it if need be.
And I would tell you just from what we see if I had an average, not that there's an industry standard, but every 5 years on an entire system, so rotating 20% a year with hotspots done maybe every year or every other year, so a little bit more frequency, I would say that's pretty typical of what we see of departments that are doing a nice job with their main.
We're using where APWA kind of came up with that, a guideline similar to that, 3-5 years. You're trying to do your entire system, a piece of it every year. That's what our target is.
So on the topic of what's happening right now, because it's kind of hard to ignore the elephant in the room of this horrible situation, what types of things are you guys talking about doing to, this isn't a 100-year event, so you can just throw that out the window. This is a every 2-year typical, I mean, based on your SLO report, it's happening very differently. So what types of things are you guys talking about fixing? Like, you're going to scope the line this summer, dig it up, put in whatever a row to the green belt to have easier access, but sorry, probably over here. What other things like chemical grouting, lining, things like that are you guys talking about, given this is a snowy town? You have a lot of I&I happening. Like, there has to be some progressive like thoughts around preventing this from happening in the community, especially the areas that have green drainage.
So we have a strategy of going around and monitoring and fixing problems that are discovered with the line examination and the jetting. And then we invest about $1 million each year in this collection system as a whole. And that includes the work that we do with the collection system. And it also includes rehabbing lift stations that we have around town that are kind of a key component of the collection system. It keeps it flowing quickly. Each one of these lift stations runs about $250,000 to $300,000 to fix. So each year we budget to replace, reseal, change up the pumps, the motors, and so forth in about one to two lift stations per year. So that's the strategy that we use every year. And we pick out which lift stations we think need to be addressed. We try to find the ones that are look to be failing or look to be on the verge of failing and identify those and prioritize those. So we've got, like I said, $1 million that we invest in the system every year to try to keep it running at its best shape. Aside from that, there's, you know, one of the issues that we're dealing with in this situation is that we've got a heavy amount of runoff that doesn't really have a good management of the runoff, so to speak, ditches, curbs, the drainage system. Our system is not a drainage, a storm runoff system. It's a sanitary sewer system. So when we have examples of water running off into a certain area and pooling, turning into a lake, and then pouring down our manholes, it obviously exacerbates the problem. So that's another side issue that needs to be addressed along with management of our collection systems. There's some work that can be done to manage runoff, not only in this area, but others around town that could definitely help prevent this in the future.
And is that the county responsibility then?
It is. We're trying to find the answer to that question right now. We know in that particular instance that there was a culvert that was blocked and it was unblocked by the county, and that seemed to let the water flow, but then it just comes to the next blockage and it backs up again. Yeah. So it's we believe it's a county, at least with regard to culverts and ditches, that it's a road and bridge question, but I believe that we're planning to have some meetings and discussions with the county to figure out what can be done with regard to the runoff management. But like I said, we're a sewer collection, water and sewer collection district. You know, what's on the surface, we it's kind of out of our jurisdiction. So it's going to have to be a collective effort to try to solve this problem.
Do you feel like the county is going to be on board? Or is there a positive reaction to this? Or is this kind of like, so it's
well, they did not going to be on board. They did come out and address the COVID situation.
I was there when you did it. It was very, very happy. But, it didn't solve the issue. I mean, still today, even with that solved, there's massive pooling in the area. So, it was a win. Let's give him that. He's very happy and excited to find this culvert. But I mean, that was also several days after the issue. And obviously things could be front loaded to mitigate faster when this starts happening. But whatever, that's learning from this. But I think it didn't solve anything. It temporarily band-aided. It took the lake in front of Lakeside Drive down off the road, but it just left it in the culverts, and there's still a ton of
unfortunately it goes to the next one and then gets blocked up again,
so it's just kicking the can down the road
a little bit. And to answer your question, we have yet to have a formal meeting with the county, but we do plan to very soon. In fact, I think you were wanting to have a discussion with them today. But they seem to be receptive, and they will happen soon. Answer your question.
And unfortunately, I don't think there's a silver bullet out there, so I think that we're dying without cuts. And we gotta start putting band-aids on all these little cuts. That's gonna take time. And then we're putting band-aids on more cuts are forming too, so it's an ongoing issue.
On that, so you say that you guys put $1 million into upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
How many properties does PAWS oversee?
Properties.
For instance, PLPOA, you guys cover pretty much all PLPOA. That's 6,600 properties, give or take, as it fluctuates from year to year. But then you guys have county. I know some of our drain lines are clay from the 50s.
So this all PAWS district, where we have sewer, started in the 70s.
Gotcha.
The town, the city's on it, has real old lines. The city has their own lines. That's the Pagosa Springs Sanitary General Improvement District. So we're really just up here is what our sewer system covers.
I guess
it's probably 6,000.
I guess my question just comes down to it. I'm on the board for the POPA, so I love bringing in more money. So I know this question is going to come with, yes, we need more, but is $1 million a year actually sufficient for keeping up with the problems that are ongoing?
It's probably all we can get help with doing. And there's also a labor shortage. I mean, I can only hire so many people that I would like to look out. So can you buy $10 million, how are we going to spend it?
Right. And we are limited by the budget. I mean, we have a water district to manage as well. We have to provide water as well as collect it. So we have to balance those priorities or those responsibilities. And it allows us a certain amount of money, and we can, as more money is freed up in one area, we can a lot more money towards the collection system. But it's a balancing act with the budget. Ultimately, we have to stick to a budget to our taxpaying constituents to some of that budget. Can't spend more than we have.
The government does all the time. Silicon Bank's loaning out lots of money.
We don't have that luxury.
I have a question about the after hours call response. I guess y'all have already touched on that. My house was one that backflowed, and so Sunday I found it, and I called multiple times, and my call kept dropping with the on-call guy, and ultimately he would tell the answering service, just tell her to call in the morning. I'm not on the sewer side, on the water side. And I couldn't really relay the message of how bad my situation was. So I ended up,
Larry for record. Larry.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thank God, Mountain Man came and helped me and started doing stuff for me. But I don't think, you know, like the culvert wasn't even able to be assessed, or my house and the damage that was happening. And then, like, finally they opened the clean out and, like, let some water start flowing back. But I was, like, begging him, like, for a number of somebody that could come. And he was just like, well, there are guys out there earlier today. They're assessing the situation. And I felt, like, desperate, you know. And so I guess I would want a better emergency response.
So yeah,
I agree. That is
unacceptable. So you actually spoke with Larry, you said?
Yeah. So the issue was identified Sunday the 12th in the morning.
They did knock on my door. I talked to them days later. But
I think it's more just the communication, correct me if I'm wrong. Like, because they did come out in 2 hours, but I don't think Joy did not know about anything going on until, like, multiple days after the thing has happened. So, you know, there were people working on her property or walking around her property, but she didn't know.
Well, I got there like Sunday afternoon. They had been out there like a few hours before. Okay, and so I started calling. And
but Larry was taking the phone calls.
Right.
And he honestly said at 10 a.m. to me, this is not a big deal. It'll be fixed by the afternoon. And it was like, then his team was saying the exact opposite. They're like, this isn't going to get fixed. This is a huge issue. We're infiltrated by multiple calls. Like, this is way overboard. Like, this isn't going to get fixed today. You're not going to have plumbing today. And
then obviously nobody saw that the culvert could have been.
Well, the culvert's the culvert was the county's thing to look at. That's, we kind of just went over like the line of responsibility there. I don't know. Yeah, so it's the county needed to act sooner. That's obviously number one. And then I think just pauses communication to, like, the impact area is what was lacking that day. Like, you know, people were still I think if a notice went out that something was going on, maybe people would be more aware of how much plumbing they were using that day. We would know that there was, like, sewage in the area, not let our kids, dogs, people walk through it. That didn't happen until, like, 5 days after. It just needed to be front loaded, like an emergency response to this and more notice to the community that this was happening. Be aware, like, that communication went out, but it was several days after the fact. So I think it's just front loading that into an earlier state and getting the people who are impacted more notice, because, you know, I was there, Joy was there, but, like, what if we had not lived there, you know, and we were part timers, and there should be some sort of email or something that goes out.
Thank you for the feedback. We will address it.
And I guess I don't know what level this would be at. And obviously it's like realtor's responsibility and homeowner's responsibility, but like before purchasing in this area, I think it should be disclosed, like, hey, this area is prone to flooding, etc. Until, I don't know, it just should be an open disclosure before people are buying here. I know it's maybe not Paul's.
It's probably even more of a county question.
Yeah.
You know, whether a survey would be done or a study would be done. But it would be certainly worth us to talk about. It's our, out of our.
But with my means of the county, I'll bring that up. I don't know if that's a FEMA designated flood zone or not. And if not, they may want to look at getting that study done.
Yeah.
Because at least the agent of insurance.
Right. Totally. Right.
It's not, because I just purchased 4 months ago, and no notice of flooding in the area was made anywhere accessible to me as a buyer, unless if I decided to call you guys up and ask you, hey, has my house flooded? I mean, I don't know how many sewer companies would say, yeah, you're like, I don't know how easily disclose that information would be to a potential buyer.
It'd be hard for us to go, you know, your address flooded, but you certainly say that area is prone to X, Y, or Z.
Yeah, but it's not a flood zone, because it would have been released on title and stuff like that. And so it's definitely like, disconcerting,
but maybe it should be.
It should be more accessible. And even people I knew here had no idea that was an issue.
You can't get flood insurance for that flood zone. And outside water in is the most expensive
and part of the
thing to deal with. Exactly. You get insurance,
we've had a lot of development in the last couple of years, you know, and before when you had a house here and a house over there, you had a lot of space in between that flood water could go. But as you build on it, you have less spot that water can go, so it has to go higher. That's
the
way.
Is there a response? Plan as you see how we've really increased in the number of houses, especially in some of the upper our area here. Is there a plan? I don't know if we need to have a response or the county has to have a response to the building. And if they do, is like a flood plan with a runoff plan, like you were talking about earlier, or another pond? I think you have one big pond, don't you? Is that
there's none that I'm aware of, but I don't know. I'll know more because I meet with the county.
So how can
to get water moving?
Drainage plans will fall on the county for each home being built.
And our job is good. So there's two issues. There's that one there, but the one we deal with is the sewer. And I think the one you brought up, what we call insulin infiltration, whether it breaks in a pipe and opens and stuff like that. And that is our responsibility. And that's we're throwing people and money at that. But a couple hundred miles of pipe in the ground. And remember, even stuff that affects you where you're at, it could be 5 miles away that's causing the problem, which is it gets its way down there. So there's a lot of, like I said, there's no silver bullet. There's not one thing we're going to dig up and fix. There's going to be a lot of little things we have to dig up and fix and continue to fix. And one of the things that we are going out, we mentioned on the side of the we do video run. We flush the lines, we run video cameras through there and try to find problems. And keep track of that stuff, and so we're always watching it. We try to do it on a five-year cycle. I think we're probably a little behind at this point. That's what we shoot for, is to get a video camera through every foot of line at least once every 5 years to try to find those problem areas and resolve those problem areas.
So that you talked about, I think you're in the room, Justin, but the restaurants with their grease and the pipes kind of is right in front of the area, I think, that we're talking about that gets backed up. I mean, could that be a concentrated area that every year that one is blown out? Because it seems like...
Yeah, we've discussed it. I think that's
okay.
We get together with our contractor about this time of year and have a game of, here's what we're going to do our stuff. We need to say, for the first 2 weeks, do this area. Because we have a couple of hot spots that we try to do. But where you're at right now, I'm not sure if there's a clog in the line. I'm not sure if there's a big grease ball in there. I think there's just too damn much water in it.
So when you do the blowing out of the line, do you shut down services
that's another issue. Sometimes when that does happen, we do try to get the word out, because if they're blowing stuff out, you can blow back in your line and shoot the water out of your toilet. It's not typically going to do a whole lot of damage. It does get things wet, and when water shoots out someone's toilet, they kind of notice that and get upset. But the toilets, it's usually clean water. It's just an air bubble gets in there and blasts through there.
But we would be notified when you're going to do that.
Well, we try to notify the area, but we not get direct contact.
So like that's through Facebook or through email?
Yes.
It's going to be Facebook, and then we'll have the service that I mentioned earlier is a text or email option that you will have access to it. If you opt in, you'll get a notification automatically in your area.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be great. So I'm not calling after hours plumber and paying that cost on my
own. How can we assist in you? I'm sorry, I was interrupted.
You go ahead.
How can we assist in trying to get the county to come up with a runoff plan or a flood plan? I mean, what is there some way that we can assist in that process?
Commissioner meetings?
Yeah. Talk to your commission. They're politicians.
This is going to be void, raising your hand and have a voice about it. I think at commissioner meetings.
But at this point, actually, I'm not sure if they're opposed to anything. I'm not totally spoke with them, so I don't want to go at this adversarial at this point. They may be scratching their heads. Again, it's going to be a hard problem to solve on both ends, so they may be working on it as we speak. I don't know.
What percentage of, like, I know you have to dig up the line and see what's going on in this one area, but do you have like a feel for like what percentage it is that is on like 50% that are fixing and, or is it 75, 25? Is there like a, I mean, it seems like the drainage plan is just the obvious. Like,
I'm not sure there's any.
Like, so well, I'm just, if we can only get like one side to do something, like, how much does that solve in the big picture? It's like, or is it really riding on the drainage plan needs to be done? And then it'll just be like one off sewer issues. And it might just be like 25% issue, but like, it feels like, is it 50-50? Is it something? I mean, I don't know. Is there like a way to know?
It probably depends on the year. Right now, it might be close to 50-50. Yeah. Typically, if it's not, That yesterday was a terrible day. Yesterday was the worst situation we had. That rain on snow was just a terrible situation. And so that contributes to it. So starting probably next week, we're supposed to get 50 degree weather. I foresee, and it's going to be warm. I see this being a problem again, and that's going to be mostly on the sewer side. We're not having that rain issue at that. So it's going to vary, I think, from storm to storm and year to year. And,
okay. So the issue with like check valves, I was getting conflicting information about that I even had one. And I know some of the guys I heard were saying, no, that house has a check valve, it should be fine, da da da. And then so finally some people said Paul's installed it, some people said Pogosa Reuter installed it. And so when Paul's looked at it days later, you know, it had some toilet paper in there. So I guess how many houses are required to have check valves, and then whose responsibility is it to maintain it? Because I have no idea. I've never heard of a check
valve. Have we gone over this thing yet?
No.
So this is check valve. If you look in here, you see a little flap ring here. So it allows water to go this way, but then let's go this way. We recommend, especially anybody in low light, nobody's required to have one. But I really recommend they're $110 or something like that. And it's a lot of safety. But there are solids going through this because down the toilet is solids. And so these things are designed to be, this will be in the ground on your sewer service. There'll be a handle on it. You can open it up and lift this out and hose off the stuff that gets in there. And it will be the homeowner's responsibility, but it does need to be done at least once a year. Maybe I do it a couple of times and kind of see what happens, but I definitely do it in the fall before the snow falls, because if you get anything that's going to stick right here, then that thing won't seal and it doesn't do any good.
But I mean, it's in a like manhole, I guess.
Yeah, you can get to it. So you open that up.
I was told I'm not supposed to touch the manhole.
Oh, no, it's in a vault. What it's in, and anything on your service line is yours, and you can definitely get into that. We don't want to get into the meter pit vault, but that's water, but sewer. Anything on that sewer, anything from the sewer main to your house is yours.
Just to be clear, a plumber should be doing that, not me or.
Well, you can. A plumber can do it.
You don't need a license for.
You don't have a license. Like, so if you literally pull this out, get the hose spray. I put my work gloves and I wouldn't blink it.
But for insurance purposes, how do you document? Yeah, I mean, like for insurance purposes, to prove that you like maintained it, like you do need to have.
Well, it's like an insurance thing. It's just more of a protection thing, just to keep the stuff out of your house.
Is this in the crawl space?
No, this would be right down. It should be right downstream from your clean out.
Okay.
But you can put anywhere in your line.
So you have to dig it up.
But somewhere in your yard.
Put it
in all over it and where you're on the mantle where you can reach
okay,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The installer, you're going to have to see a hole. Once it's in, you put a lid on it, but how deep this is. One is PVC with a handle on it, you just roll it out.
Just Paul's recommends the crawl space, if you can't dig a hole in one.
No, this is a crawl space. We don't have too late. I would try, my recommendation would be right past your clean out. That was going to be a clean out.
What's the brand and where do you buy them for that style?
Buy from us. We buy as many as we can get so people have them. I mean, there's several different companies to make it. You can also,
that's good enough.
Spears, you can also get it from GTS, but they typically run out. That's why I try to keep them. And we just sell for our cost.
So you told me yesterday about a pump station too, right?
Yeah, that's a really good protection, but it's a pump station. So if you have a pump on your system, it's going to force the water to the line. But you do have a mechanical pump that has its own problems that would break every 10 years. But that's really going to protect you. If you have that thing, there's really
what's the level of protection with this? Is it like,
if you maintain it, it's going to be a lot of protection as long as it's maintained.
Because I mean, I just look at that and I think like a lot of paper towel or toilet, I mean, not flushing paper towels, but like flushing a lot of toilet paper big enough could potentially
it can
get caught in there, and then you're just like,
and you're dry. Wow. So this does have some drawbacks with the pump station. If that pump quits working, there's basically an air gap. The water can't.
But you could do both.
Well, you really wouldn't want to do both. You would to the pump station.
Okay.
Oh, so the pump station is superior to this.
It is, but it's a lot more expensive, and it's going to be more maintenance as well. So you got to kind of. Then all of a sudden, it may could be a totally nice dry, and your pump goes out. You can't use your toilets until you buy a new pump and put it in. So there's definitely some drawbacks to that as well. But it's enough. But you are totally protected from your neighbor's sewage backing up in your house. But you got to kind of weigh those.
Do they freeze in the wintertime? Like, do you see issues with that?
It shouldn't freeze. It's all the air. It's not under ground.
Steve, how much do those cost? That's a convenient time.
Yeah.
Lift stations are a few thousands to put in.
And problematic.
It's
problematic sometimes.
Yeah, I've got one in my house, and I spend time every year getting down there dealing with it.
Yeah, and it runs, and it's electricity. You're going to cut electricity. So there's.
How much are the check valve?
$110
from us.
But then to install it, to dig a hole, and
you're probably looking at $500 or so, probably. In a lift station, you're probably looking at $2,000 or $3,000.
Mm-hmm. Because it depends too how deep your sewer line is, right? Like, if your sewer line is not super deep in the ground, I never mind.
Right, the keyboard is more expensive.
I don't want to hold it. I'm sorry. I guess. I've got anybody here might have some advice if I should open my check valve up again.
I wouldn't right now.
Okay.
I would. Call it that we can talk to you about, but while it's still, we have this much, like this weekend is probably going to be okay because it's going to be really cold.
Yeah.
And when it really gets cold at night and everything freezes, it slows down and we can catch up and stuff like that. But next week, when it's going to be 50 degrees, it's going to be wet.
Yeah.
And so I would. I'll err on the side of caution.
Yeah, I guess I just want to know that was the reason, just this little cog was the whole reason the backup happened for me, or is it because I'm so low?
Because it's so low. You're in the lowest spot. The water comes out, backs up, is going to be about the lowest spot.
Right.
And so if we see a lot of water coming out of that manhole next to the manholes, it's because that's the second lowest spot.
Right.
And unfortunately, you're just probably a couple inches lower, and so that's where that's at.
Is a question since we're on it, and I've only dealt with this twice. My dad's Bruce Jones as well, but Bruce Jones Construction. But twice we've had two different instances. Once, as it was over off Sam Houston, somebody had come in and unloaded their RV black water. So we get Spud got the call, and Spud still owned it, and so he called my dad. Everyone came in and said, hey, look, you got to take out 3 dump truck loads of dirt here. So we came in, took it out, hauled it off to a different spot, that was appropriate. And then we had to bring dirt in. The other time was with the EMS building. At one point, their line backed up and it just blew everywhere. So obviously, people got involved. Again, talking probably 10 dump loads of dirt there. It got hauled off and had to be brought in just because of the impact of the black water on water. Right now you're talking about millions of gallons a day going across people's lawns. It's in all the lakes and all that. So what's the, I guess my question is just having two experiences where we had to go to that extreme, what's the repercussion?
Yeah, that seems like a pretty heavy extreme. Once this all dries out, we'll probably take some soil samples and see what that is. There's a lot of water out there, and the soil might be being pushed around. I don't think we're using, and we're trying to cover with lye and stuff like that to kill any pathogens that are out there. But there's not a whole hell of a lot you can do right now. We send the guys out there and with rakes and buckets to try to clean up any solids that are out there. We'll just have to kind of look at it when it all dries up and see if it looks like it's a terribly contaminated area or just kind of flushed its way out. And it's,
Kind of, and I do understand that those millions of gallons go over it completely different than an isolated area.
Yeah.
So I do. So are you guys going to do that? Is that something?
We'll take samples.
But I mean, is that something people are going to have to request? Because I mean, I'm
if you want to request, you can request. We'll do it. We're going to do it anyway, especially around that manhole that's backing up. But if you're worried about your yard, we send stuff to the lab every. Correct. We have to every week, so throwing another couple of stuff in is not.
Would you be willing to like test my backyard? And
Because
I mean, I have an animal. I don't want poisonous stuff to be put down near my yard. You know, why is toxic, right? And isn't lie not super?
Well,
isn't it like another?
It could be that, but it's gonna dissolve.
Lime.
It's gonna dissolve.
Wait, lie.
Lime.
Yeah.
Oh,
because
they were getting. I thought it was lime, but then he's a...
It's a disinfectant, basically. Whatever.
Yeah. Impact of like number of homes right now, like what is the impact of this? Is it like how many homes are like experiencing slow plumbing right now? And
because
like I hear you guys are getting inundated with calls and people are calling the conditioner and it's like this huge thing. So
we actually only heard four homes
in that area.
In that area, that's what we've heard directly from. And we placed four bodies, as you know, at those four homes. And it's generally, I think most of them are just slow. You know, they're having slow drainage issues.
Yeah. But only your house, only one has been flooded with that one. Your knowledge.
Any other questions?
Right, and I think just a little bit. I think you commented that that if you're not in a flood zone, you can't buy flood insurance. I don't sell personal lines, so I don't know the answer to that. I'm trying to check in with my office right now to see if you can or not. I think you can, just not through the federal flood program. And one of the protections that we believe is critical for homeowners, just because we get into this, is the district negligent or is the district not negligent, is purchasing insurance coverage on your own policy. And I would say, and we'll figure out whether flood's available or not, but one thing that's typically excluded from a homeowner's policy is sewer backup coverage, but most insurance companies offer sewer backup coverage by endorsement, and so you can purchase that if you request it from your agent. Carriers differ on how they provide that and their willingness to provide it. Some provide small limits, maybe 10 or 25,000. Some will provide full policy limits for that coverage, but it's not really that expensive. I think you can get at least 25,000 through State Farm at about $50 a year, and I would say it's well worth it, because when there's these events, you want to be protected. And the problem also is we've talked about a lot of times on the sewer backup side. Again, I'm trying to stay away from the flood, because I think this is a very unique situation. We don't have a lot of experience and background on, so I can tell you how it goes. But on the sewer backup side, a lot of times we find that the district's not negligent, which puts the homeowner on the hook for the sewer backup. If we get over that hump and it turns out that the district was negligent in an instance, they're only responsible for the actual cash value of the damage that they did. So if you have, I don't know, couches or chairs, you would get a depreciated value back from the insurance company. Whereas if you purchased your own coverage, you would get replacement costs. When you buy it on your personal lines, you would get new for old, as opposed to old for old. And then I think the other thing that we're experiencing here, and it's another big deal, is that when you go through the district insurance, even if the district's found negligent, there's a process. And that process is you call the district, the district turns in a claim, an adjuster gets assigned, and then the adjuster starts an investigation to determine whether or not the district was negligent. And that investigation can take time. And all of this is happening while you're having a sewer incident. Whereas if you have your own coverage through your own insurance company, as soon as you turn in a claim, they should be responsive. And so you're getting a lot quicker response when it's your own company. And then they can go back to and have the discussion with the district's insurance company as to who was negligent or not. So three advantages, I would say. One, you know, you're going to get taken care of quickly through your own. You're going to get better coverage. It's replacement cost, not actual cash value. And then you don't have to necessarily worry as much whether the district was negligent or not. And if they were, your insurance company can fight that battle with the district's insurance company as opposed to you fighting it on your own. And so I do think one step that I would recommend to all homeowners is call your insurance broker and ask them if you have sewer backup coverage. And if not, can you purchase it? Because I do think that that's a critical coverage for folks to have. Because unfortunately, with a lot of the districts we work with, we see these where homeowners get left without coverage. Yes.
Yeah, just to give my experience, I did have that endorsement for $10K. So, but it's because it's Blackwater, it's like $45K of demolition cost. And so I would get more coverage if you could.
Yeah, I would agree. There's some that'll sell to you at full policy limits. Like I know Safeco and Chubb do, but I would agree with you that buy it as much as you can. And particularly, depending on how low you are, if you have basements and finished basements, obviously you have bigger exposures than if you have a basement that is unfinished. And while it's a hassle, there's not as much stuff getting damaged. But yeah, the restoration costs do add up and add up quickly.
So on that note, something I wrote down earlier, since you guys have such a wide connection, so we dealt with a sewer loss a few years back where right afterwards, about a month later, you guys sent out a mail, pink or blue, basically saying, here's the statutes of law with Colorado saying, as long as we're doing our job, it's not negligence and you're on your own. I like that better than at least the letter set. My recommendation, since the homeowners we can talk to, we talk to them the same thing about the sewer endorsements, but we can only reach the people that call us when they have a problem. It's too late. My suggestion is since you guys have eBlast, Facebook, everyone's email addresses, do a constant, like every single week for a few months where it's just hammers at home. If you guys can, like, talk to the different insurance companies because they all call something different. Sewer entering my home for any reason, put that in quotes. Get this endorsement onto the policy because they'll protect people from going bankrupt because a bad sewer loss that went on Arbor, the demolition, the rebuild, was a six-figure loss. Now bankrupt 90% of people who just don't have that sitting in an account waiting to be blown. But you guys have that ability to, and I know it's not your job, but since you guys have that ability to reach out, they'll look at it a bit more, they'll listen, but they never read the first one, they never read the second. So if you could just make it a constant right at the top, get this endorsement. This is what you call and ask for. This call that two insurance companies.
Yeah, I think you can read that on our website. And maybe the newspaper can send one.
Yeah, they published an article. They might.
What is the language? So that's the thing, because I called my insurance and it was kind of like a back and forth, and I'm still trying to like understand the language on my documents, but it's like
whatever.
So I have sewer line coverage. So there's like two coverages you want, it seems. You want sewer and water backup coverage, and then you want service line coverage.
Yes. And okay, we're outside of my comfort zone and outside of my expertise, again, on the first line side. So sewer line coverage is going to protect you against damage to your line, that line that runs from your house to the street. Sewer backup coverage is going to cover you for the backup of the sewage through that pipe into your home. So I do believe you probably want both coverages, but the one that we're talking about that would protect this is the sewer backup coverage. And each carrier treats it differently, and each carrier has a different name for it.
Well, yeah, because you want to make sure you have it outside in, not just right. inside. Right. And so, but then it gets hairy because they're like, well, if it's the city, and so then it's like, does it go over? Because it's like, well, it's outside in, but the city is responsible for what comes in. And so that's where the line got really gray. And it's like, well, I've been hearing what you guys are saying today. It's like not the sewer city's responsibility. So then the insurance company then has to take, is this what you're saying? Like then they take it up with, their legal team takes it up with the city.
Yes, it's through subrogation.
But as long as you have outside in, that's what you want.
Yes, that's exactly.
And that's the trick is people don't realize it's just inside only sometimes. So like, yeah, that's like going back to what Lars is saying, like some sort of like guide on how to talk. I don't
know. If you guys call a couple of the local insurance companies and say, hey, we're saying on e-blast, what's your all's terms? Because if you go like Mackey Insurance, they'll give you the exact wording to throw in there for Safeco, Liberty Mutual, things like that. And then you guys can just put the actual, like, here's the words you want for that. Like I said, I know it's not your all's responsibility, but with just your all's reach, I think it would protect at least one, if not dozens of homeowners over the next several years from going bankrupt and losing everything on it. So it'd be super cool.
Yeah, I don't like the smell like your job term. I agree you have to get it.
Yeah.
It doesn't do us any good if your house floods.
And then real quick, flood insurance. I have flood insurance, went out, bought flood insurance, lived down the Lord Market. You do not have to be in the flood zone. In fact, if you're not in the flood zone, it's quite a bit cheaper.
Yeah.
And so I lived down the Lord Market, looked at a big runoff. I went out and bought flood insurance for a year. Cost $350, and I was literally probably a few feet from the flood zone. It's real reasonable.
Which I don't think flood insurance will cover. No.
Flood insurance will cover surface water.
Yeah, groundwater.
You're dealing with both.
But they won't cover it, like it coming up your
sewer. So yeah, no, that's a different insurance.
The flood insurance covers it coming into like your basement.
Flood insurance covers surface water. But they're talking about someone else. But okay. just a little matter of fact, as someone said, you have to be in flood zone. No, you don't have to be in flood zone. And if you're in a flood zone, then your flood insurance, you may or may not get it.
But the federal that you're saying.
To get federal insurance, you have to be in a flood zone. Or if your community participates, there's some other non-flood zone stuff. But you can also purchase outside of the.
Lars, you being on the board of the HOA, like where does the HOA stand on like advocating for the community on this? So it's like buying into the community, like selling language.
The POPOA loves e-blasts that nobody reads, but I will gladly have you guys shoot us an email. I'll link up what you guys type up. We will gladly copy and be sent.
I think you get e-blasted it up
too. Yeah, because we love e-blasts, but we also found like. We did like a survey and then we found out that like 2% of the community basically reads our e-blasts. So there's a questionnaire going out in the next one like, hey, what's a better way to communicate with you guys? Because the emails are just getting kind of.
We all get over saturated with communication.
Yeah, I know. We're thinking TikTok videos.
Yeah.
Of board members dancing and giving out info. But yeah, we're going to send something out too.
I think you're better off talking to your local brokers because they'll know the specific terms for the carriers that they go directly. But if you struggle with that, I definitely have contacts in Denver that have Safeco and Liberty Mutual on it, and I can find the terms for
those. Yeah, you can find a generic statement we could put out that.
Because there's only four main ones pretty much here, USAA, State Farm, Safeco, which is Liberty Mutual, Travelers. That's really it. We deal with Chubb from time to time. They are fantastic.
Yeah, but they throw it in
American Families from time to time, but they're all pretty much a lot the same.
Sorry, I'm USA State Farm, Safeco, and Travelers.
Yeah,
I can probably easily find information on State Farm, Safeco, and Travelers. A little tougher on USA.
Well, I think we just need a general. We can't cover every insurance company, so just I think we just would look for a general statement.
And then I can also probably find flyers similar to ones that are there that are more specific towards purchasing the coverage that might be helpful in email blasts as well. I think that's all the really pertinent information that that I was going to skip to. A lot of the last ones were kind of the question like, is it excluded on homeowners? And we covered that, and then what to look for to purchase it. So I think we're good on my side. Do you guys have more questions?
You know, I just have to ask, and I don't know if it's pre-existing condition. I don't know if that works with sewer situations. I mean, can they just not? I mean, I would think like USAA, who I have, may not like to. When there's been a flood and there's been a sewage problem, do you know if pre-existing conditions happen in house insurance?
Yeah, like, can I now like say, oh, I want more on that endorsement than my house? This could happen.
I mean, again. I guess they'll just charge you.
They're not going to provide coverage for pre-existing damage, and they're not going to provide coverage. Like, you couldn't buy it today to pick up what happens tomorrow because there is a natural event going on. But I would think that after this event settles down, that you should be able to purchase coverage shortly after that. Sometimes with the flood insurance coverage, they do have longer periods of time. Like that, I think a lot of times they say you can purchase it, but it's not effective for 30 days because people start to see that I don't know, there's a ton of snow, if we're getting a bunch of hot days, we're headed for a flood, I want to buy some flood insurance now. So that will be the coverage where they tend to have a longer wait period before when you purchase it to when it's effective. But once this calms down, I would think you would be able to get the sewer back coverage.
One last question. I know like at the state level, you can request like spill reports, et cetera, from the policy district. I wonder, but that's like back till 2012. So I know my check valve was installed like in 05. Is there a way to get records of like what happened that early on? Because I know there was flooding, but I have no idea what happened. And
I doubt we have any records that go beyond what the state has. I can try to dig, but I doubt we have anything.
Okay.
What was your request for the county when you meet with them? Ask them to maybe consider adding in drainage inspections, you know, for the before finals on builds. It's something that doesn't get looked at. So
yeah, but my house will need like major drainage if I was going to stay there.
The county requirements will basically say, you know, you have to have a drainage elevation plan for your home, and if you have bad drainage that affects the home next to you, you're liable. But since I think it's now obviously we're looking at with all these problems with all these new homes, it's overloaded our drainage system. It's right getting ahead of it now because it's just one additional inspection to do at final to get final. Pretty simple thing just to make sure that people are following. So something brought up too, because that should, if people are doing the proper drainage that they're saying that they're doing, then in the county may checks it, that's going to make their job a lot easier to keep that water flowing versus, wow, yeah, but that drainage messes with my yard now, so I didn't do it. And it's too late after the fact when they get their final. That's kind of that.
Yeah, and it also helps us in the fact, because one of the concerns I have, I know this is anecdotal, is I think we have crawl spaces that are flooding and people are looking some pumps up to the sewer, because if they don't, it goes to the neighbor's yard.
Some of that,
yeah. Like that, so they put it right in there, and that Texas tip is
one that when you talk about county, because I had a neighbor down in Lower Blanco complained about a culvert, Finally, he took Polaroids and everything, took a bunch of pictures, hauled it down to the county. County doesn't inspect their culverts, it seems like. Routine inspection. You might.
I don't know if there's a plan.
I don't know if there's a plan for the county. You might ask them about that. Because I know numerous culverts that are plugged or have been plugged that have been pretty good that way for a while.
Insist on a plan. Yeah.
Well, is the illegal tie-ins on the sump pumps, would it make sense like point of sale to do inspection? I know it's a manpower issue and a budget issue to have enough people to come and do that, but to make sure that they don't have illegal tie-ins on their sump pump, and maybe more inspections other than point of sale.
Yeah,
Yeah, maybe we could probably do something if when people change the name, we don't get told when there's a sale. The only way we know is if somebody calls up and says, hey, change John Smith to Paul Jones or whatever that might be, but that's the one we need to know.
We know change of ownership through the title company. The title companies send us the documentation after the sale has finalized and gone through, and at that point, then we'd be made aware. But oftentimes it's a month to 2 months sometimes before we are notified of that change.
Is there, when that happens, is there anything we sign off on? So we really won't have
to. It's too late.
No, because
so they're not waiting on us.
They're not waiting on us.
If they waited on us, then we can say, yeah, get us in there to do that. So it's really difficult since they don't really.
But there's nothing in their process that halts them and says, you know, cause needs to inspect these things to move forward that I'm aware of. We're just notified after the sale's already gone through.
A lot of times people have home inspections. I don't know if they're if they need to report that when they find that, but a lot of times they'll go in there and take pictures of the call space. I don't know if they're looking for that.
That's an idea. Maybe we could get word out to the home inspectors. Mm-hmm. Look to one to look for that when they do their home inspection, and two, at least let the homeowner know this is illegal and could cause a lot of problems. Best contact us.
Yep.
I think that's not a bad idea. I'm not sure any inspector companies are out here, but there's not that many.
Another thought I have, when they're cleaning and televising lines during a non-event like this and trying to identify problems, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, a lot of the joints and manholes aren't leaking at the point that they're filming. And they may look good, but well, maybe a gas gets rolled.
Well, you can't run the camera through when it's full of water, so you can't see if it's full of water.
Well, yeah, no, I understand.
But there's a lot. You're going to miss some, but there's a lot we see that we can fix. So when we run out of all the ones that we see,
then we can
try to figure out how to figure out ways to. There is ways to do it. You do smoke tests where you put smoke bombs down there and see that stuff go through there. And we may get to that point. But,
right.
And that's how you do things. Like, it's another way you can find sump pumps. Run a smoke bomb through there, if your sump pump's tied to it,
right,
the smoke starts billowing out of your house. It's one way of finding that. So,
do you guys do any testing and sealing of the joints, like individual joints and that sort of thing, or testing on the manholes themselves to pressure wise to see if it
should be tested when they're installed. A lot of problems with stuff, really, we haven't put in a sewer extension for a while, so some of the stuff's just old. That's when you do that, there's several tests. My guess is they weren't done when this was done in 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
Well, I know back east they have older systems and everything, and so they're more familiar with testing and sealing, and it's an occurrence that they do. They put a lot of money into it every year to systematically go through each line, each manhole.
When we get to that point, we can. But if we run the camera through right now and we see a pipe, that's where you see roots going through it,
things right. Such
as that. And you can kind of tell when we look at those videos, you can tell if there's something that a lot of times you'll see where the sewer service separates,
You'll see the bigger problems,
you'll see them now, basically. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Question, and I know nothing about sewer systems. What about if there's a particular sewer manhole cover that is constantly at a low level and being water pouring in and pouring out of it? Would you ever consider sealing that cover off so that sewage wouldn't flow out of it in certain areas that for certain times of the year that you would just?
Yes, but here's the problem. That water is going to go out the lowest outlet it can. So as people brought up that maybe the one next to you, we should raise up 4 or 5 feet. You can do that. But then now it's not just Joyce's house that's going out, it's going out yours, because it's going to find that lower level. And if that outlet, the manhole, is above your shower outlet, it's going out your shower first. So there's some dangers in doing that.
But doesn't that create a more sealed system?
Yeah,
I don't think
you were. To keep water from going in is a good idea, but we don't.
Yeah.
it at 50 if you can.
But we are looking, I mean, obviously I understand that Joanne Madeline's houses are the primary things that have been impacted by this, but just as you mentioned earlier, I think the influx, obviously the influx isn't there because that's just the overflow.
It's all up.
So it's all upstream. So I think upstream, I would hope, and I'm assuming we are, just so on the same page, I'm not saying you're not, I would hope that we are raising some of these manhole covers using extensions, stuff like
that. We're sealing lift stations. Yeah. This year we're going to replace sewer pipe. We have some sewer that runs along Lake Pagosa that terrible I-9, and so that's all being replaced. And so we're doing these as we find them and get it done. So there's a lot, like I said, it's 1,000 cuts. It's not that simple. So
okay. But we are out there because the main thing that's being mentioned, and I understand what Steve's saying too. I personally believe that obviously it's a lot more than just manhole covers. That's just my opinion. But at the same time, so I think there's a lot of joints leaking. But that's beside the point. We are out exploring right now when the water is as high as it is, whether it happens every 3 years or every 100 years. And we are seeing the manholes that are being entered right now. And I'm assuming they're being prioritized for $1 million this year to be raised so that if we get another decent winter next year, that we're not going to be in the same position. Yes.
We have an ongoing list of issues that we found that we're checking off as much as we can.
Cool.
Yeah. And it's not just mammals, it's lift stations, it's pipe, it's there's a lot of.
So once you do identify, you know, like through the camera work, say a joint here is leaking and the joint there is leaking, how is that? How are they fixed?
You typically put a saddle on it, you dig it up, and you run a, you know, hope it's way offset, you may have to dig up a whole section, mm-hmm. It's just a little offset, you'll get that clamp, you know, they clamp together and close it back up. And then for lift station and manholes, the companies that will come out and they clean it up and then that's fully sealed on it and keeps that from. And we all, you know, so we always have people going around looking at lift stations and looking at manholes and we assess the condition of those. And you know, the ground can be wet and you open the manhole, you open the lift station, and there's seams and there's water shooting out of it or trickling out of it. We note that and then we try to concentrate on what we're thinking worse. You know, if there's water trickling over here and shoot out over there, we'll
sort of and it's hard to, it's a lot of work to dig up and then put a band around
and one joint.
Then it moves to the next joint and the next joint.
And exactly. You're moving the
piece.
And if it's extremely bad, you have to really get in there and shut that line down. It's very expensive because nobody's going to quit flush. And so now you have to hire a company to come in there and pump around while you're doing that. So that's why $1 million seems like a lot of money. Sure as hell is, but sometimes it's not extreme. Like we're going to replace a couple hundred yards of line near Lake Pagosa, and it's $800,000 for a couple hundred yards, and we got 100-200 miles on the line. So,
and I've seen people try to seal manholes from the outside, keep water from coming in, and it generally doesn't work very well. It finds its way in. San Juan River Village, they uncovered one, they put the lice and water shield, and they did everything they could. And water still got it. But it finds its way in. Have you guys considered having and there's nobody around here that does it, but grout injection, right?
Well, that's what we have companies to do it. Yeah, they typically come out of Denver, and we have several scheduled for this year. To do that, and we've been doing
it for the last couple of years. And from what I know, that's about the only way that I know of to really take care of the infiltration is to curtain grout the manholes from the inside, test and seal each joint.
Yep.
And it's expensive. I mean, you probably have spent way more than $1 million, depending on how.
And you can't just go there and do that, you got to try that out. So, again, if you have to back it up and you're running pumper trucks while that's happening. Or you're bumping around it, and so it just adds to the
depending on some of that more active lines. Yeah, you think you do that.
You guys looked at buying the equipment for it?
We wouldn't have
it. There's a huge learning curve there,
yeah.
On chemical grout.
We have a lot of Pagosa graduates that are well on BJ and I encourage them.
I had a truck and I got rid of it. I did a couple manholes for the town. And I had that stuff all over me. I thought, no, that's not skull and crossbones all over all the all the bags of chemicals. And it's expensive. It takes an older person's been doing it a long time to really know how to mix that, the gel time, depending on how much water's, you know, there's just a lot to it. So, yeah, having someone just jump in the truck and 6 months later be an expert at it, not going to happen. So.
From a raising money standpoint to get some of these bigger things done, is it
you're gonna see this. We're gonna be raising rates. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever happy with that. So we do what we call a capital investment plan. So we kind of plan out the next 10 to 20 years and we say, okay, we want to fix 1 mile line a year or whatever, and we come up with a cost for that. We actually hire a third party company that's working on that, and they study that and they say, okay, so you need to raise your rates 6% or 12% or 14% to do this amount of work. Again, if there's more that needs to be done, we can add more to it, but we also are subject to how much we can get done just with manpower and getting people up here. A lot of these companies come from Denver or Albuquerque. We're kind of on the frontier, so we're limited also. It's not just money, certainly is a limiting factor, but that's not the only limiting factor. Mm-hmm. Like I said, if I had $10 million to replace every year, I don't think I could find the people to do it.
As far as giving them a heads up, that hey, the water's rising, and sending out a notice to the area that are being affected the worst right now, would additional flow meters help in
we more don't spots? Have flow meters on sewer. It's really hard to maintain flow meters because of solids in there. So you're all gonna be experts with this. You're gonna start getting warm and put the snow on the ground. It's gonna rise.
Did this catch you off guard on Sunday when this was discovered, or were you guys kind of like anticipating?
I think they're monitoring it. I don't think they were quite ready for the extent that we knew it was coming. We're watching.
What's done yesterday? Like I saw the guys out there and they're
We thought maybe
possibly, it was overflowing yesterday.
It's been overflowing. It did overflow yesterday as well. We thought possibly maybe there was a constriction in that. Mm-hmm. And so what we did is we tried running a pump around it so that some would go through there and some would pump around. But we ran the pumps and it really didn't do anything. So it kind of indicated that there's not a constriction. It was just over. And we had to be somewhat careful. We can't get, to quit. You get bigger pumps. But then we just run the problem down to the next handle. But it was just something we were trying.
It didn't do anything.
But we're brainstorming with. Trying to see what sticks on the wall.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just curious if that had any positive
reaction. Anything else? I think that you're all good. Any other questions we can answer for you guys? Feel free to call if you have in the future. We've recorded this and we're going to post it on our website. You guys have one review or maybe some on the side of you. But if you have any questions, please call us on office. Like I said, we're going to be using this drop down program quite a bit, but it's been in place for almost a year now. So we've been tweaking and pulling over and so forth on it to make sure it does what it needs to do. But it does allow us to focus alerts to particular areas and allows us to do it via email or text if you want to opt into that. A lot of people don't, we definitely want you to opt in. We don't want to force that people calling your phone unannounced. So. But that's what we're going to be using.
Well, I do have to say you guys have been very available, especially Justin. Thank you for answering the phone when I call. And I mean, trying to look on the bright side of things. Not getting a hold of you guys would be just piling on to the frustration. So even though it's very challenging, it's very nice to be able to pick up the phone and get somebody on the phone for an update. So and hearing what you guys are talking about and having this, even though this is kind of hijacked. Probably stable. I mean, it's timing.
Very timely.
Yeah, it was kind of ironic, but it was very helpful. So thank you for hosting.
I think we can thank speak for all of us. We realize how bad the situation that can be,
yeah.
And we certainly don't want to be, subject to through your situation. We want to do everything we can to help, including experimenting with, you know, pumps to try to try to help.
And I do know sometimes I'm empathetic, you know, we don't care what we do, but there's, again, there's limits to what we can do, and we're feeling the stress too. I don't think we're feeling the stress. You're feeling the stress, but it's
yeah, I mean, it's
like
the start of none of us knew anything about sewer stuff, and so when you're saying there's nothing that can really be done, that's hard to swallow, and so it created a lot of, you know, anger and frustration at first, but after hearing more information through the week, the last two weeks, and this, it's like it's still frustrating, but it's nice to know that you guys are talking and having plans in place, and we can do things on our side too to help
and the word's getting
protect
out,
I think, our properties.
And I think people, because we've gotten calls recently, you know, how do I know if my sump pump's up to it? So people are, you know, there are people that want to do the right thing and are trying to figure that out. So the word is getting out.
And home inspectors can figure that out. They can tell where the sump pump is. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be a new gig for them.
In the box.
And then, well, they can maybe have a little more of a job right now to inspect systems.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good morning. Go ahead. What a minute.
Plenty of sandwiches up here.